Okay, and we're coming back into the third hour. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. PJ Barden is my name. And, well, we're not taking calls until the end of the third hour today, but we have four short audio videos to go. And the next one that David Icke is bringing this to a conclusion on is called The Spider's Web of, I presume, of Deceit. 8.5 minutes. So we go to that one now. Okay.
Let's just zoom out a bit, because in the first two chapters of the book, you talk about your concept of kind of the spider's web, and then you get into what you call the hidden hand, some of the people that were involved in this whole process. And then I'd love to get in a little deeper into the flights and then, sure, of course, go deeper into your problem reaction solution system. But for people that don't know, what do you mean by the spider's web?
The question that people ask when people like me talk about a few controlling the world and the direction of the world to a very, very clear and specific end that I talk about at the end of the book, it's an understandable question. How could a few control so many people? It's not possible, but it is. And you know, when I used to do jigsaw puzzles, I've done one for a long time, but when I did, I always wanted to get the outside frame first, the straight bits, because then it becomes easier to put the pieces in the middle. So when I started uncovering the fact that, yes, a few people do control the direction of the world, I wanted to know how they could do it. And this is the structure through which they do it. Imagine a spider's web. In the center is the spider. That's deep in the shadows. You don't see that. And that's dictating events. The strands in the web immediately around the spider are the most exclusive secret societies. Many of them don't even have names, which makes them harder to track. And as you come out in the web, still in the hidden, you start hitting the secret societies we do know about, but we don't know what goes on in them unless you do serious research. These are the Freemasons, and I'm talking about the inner core of the Freemasons, not Fred and Joe down the lodge, you know. We're talking the Knights Templar, the Knights of Malta, Opus Dei, the inner core of the Jesuit order, and many others. And you come out of the web in that, still in the hidden, and then you hit what I call the cusp. These are organizations that are kind of semi-secret. Thanks to, you know, people like me that do what I do, they're less secret than they were, but they're semi-secret. These cusp organizations, which are organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations in America, which has driven U.S. foreign policy in so many ways since it was formed in 1921. The Bilderberg Group, created in 1954 at the Bilderberg Hotel in Oosterbeek, Holland. The Trilateral Commission, 1972-73, created by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski, Jimmy Carter's National Security Advisor, who is very much involved in this. He's not with us any longer, neither is David Rockefeller, but they're fundamentally involved in this. A whole web. And the Club of Rome, which was formed in the 1960s, specifically to exploit the environment as a problem to which a solution could be proposed. And what I said, just a very brief aside, but it's important given current events, what I wrote years ago, decades ago, was that the reason we're having what I call the human-caused global warming hoax, people say, well, why would they hoax? Why would they lie to us about that? Because it is a problem, or in this case, a manufactured problem, to which they can offer a solution. And I said, what the solution's going to be, this is decades ago, is to say that they must have centralization of power over the fine detail of people's lives and lifestyles to save the planet. That's what's coming. And now, of course, it's here. And so you've got these cusp organizations, and what their role is, they pull together people in politics and banking and business and intelligence and media, is to take this, if you like, the spider agenda from the shadows and play it out through into the mainstream arena. And at that point in the web, we're in the world of the scene. We're into governments, government agencies, the so-called deep state, which I've been writing about for 30 years nearly, and now it's common parlance, the deep state, the banking system, corporations, etc. And you see decisions being made, like with Silicon Valley and all the censorship of alternative information, including that about 9/11. They seem to be random decisions being made in the world of the scene, but they're not. If you go back into the shadows, those random decisions are not random at all. Because if you go back to the spider level, Facebook is Google. Google is Amazon. Amazon is the banking system. The banking system is the biotech cartel, is the big pharma cartel, is government at its core controlling level. And you start to realize that actually this web is what's pulling it all together. And, you know, in terms of 9/11, it's through this web that it was pulled off, with only a very, very few people needing to know about it, because of this system that all intelligence agencies use, and funnily enough, secret societies use, of compartmentalization. If, example, you look at the Freemasons, the vast majority of Freemasons in the world are on the bottom three levels of degree, the blue degrees. That's as far as they get. But in the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, there's 33 degrees, and then there's other degrees above that that most Freemasons don't even know about, where the real deal is. And so the vast majority of Freemasons, they have no idea what other levels of Freemasonry know. And this is how intelligence agencies work. They call it the need-to-know principle. Only let people within the organization know enough to do their job, make their contribution, but not enough to know how their contribution fits in with everyone else's to create a very different picture to what the individual contribution looks like in and of itself. And so this compartmentalization means that so many people can contribute to something like 9/11, but they have no idea that their individual contribution is part of it. You know, if you want to hide a technology about actually what it is, you get the different parts made in different areas of the world, different places, different companies. So they're making a part. They don't know what it's part of. The only people that know what the technology actually is are those right at the end, the very few, who put the parts together. Everybody else is in ignorance. What's this for? I don't know. Our mind's not to reason why. Just make it, mate. And this is how compartmentalization works. And it means that very few people need to know to make something like this happen. So if you look at a police force, you have to control very few people in a police force to dictate who is prosecuted, who is not prosecuted, what's investigated, what's not investigated. You only have to control those positions in the police force that make those decisions. All your rank and file police then react to those decisions. Oh, don't investigate him, don't investigate that. And this is how it's done. Very few people have to be aware of 9/11 to make that happen. And that's how the whole web works.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, he's explaining it. He's not leaving anything out, that's for sure. The spider's web. And the other next one is a short piece. It's the missing security camera footage of various places in 9/11. Okay, we'll go to that now.
When the Oklahoma bombing happened in 1995 and a guy was executed for it, very, very dubiously, I cover that in the book as well, because it's, in many ways, the Oklahoma bombing was a version of 9/11. In fact, it wasn't a version. It was a mirror kind of technique. The FBI went to the businesses all around the Murrah building and they took all the camera footage of the security cameras, which we'd never seen. Because he didn't do it alone, if he did it at all, he had another person with him who's never been found, who's known as John Doe 2. So on the morning of 9/11, the FBI pull the same trick. They confiscate all the security camera footage that had anything on them that would give you information about what happened on 9/11. Do you know, the Pentagon is the most, or at least one of them, probably the most protected buildings in the world. In and around the Pentagon are 85, and we're at, in 2001, 85 security cameras pointing out in all directions. The FBI confiscated that footage, and we've never seen it. So when people say, did a plane hit the Pentagon or not? I say it didn't. I explain why in the book. But anyway. Oh, yeah, no, no, that's a conspiracy theory. Yes, it did. Well, show us the footage then. Show us the footage. Are you telling me that of 85 security cameras at the Pentagon, there are none of them that actually caught an indisputable footage of the plane hitting the Pentagon?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Classic behavior. The one thing to add about that, the Murrow Building since has come out. The reason they hit the Murrow Building was a dry run for other events like 9/11. But the files of all the crime, top crime families in America, including the Bush family and the Clinton family, were housed. The criminal files of the Bush and Clinton families were housed in the Murrow Building. Isn't that amazing? And they were all destroyed. And the building came, the explosion came from the inside, not the outside. The Ryder van and Timothy McVeigh, he was a total patsy. And I think it was John Stratmiller interviewed the second guy that the ex-agent that they were going to recruit to be the fall guy and who would have been killed or put in jail, and he turned down the project. But that was came out. So much of that has come out as well. But okay, the spider's web, the missing security camera footage. The other thing is the 9/11 commission, I think, is the next one that could be going on to, and that's only 6.5 minutes. We go to that one now. Okay. The next one, I think, is the 9/11 commission. It's 6 minutes 40. You played all of them. Okay, I tell you what you can do. We give Ken some time to do. The witch? I'm talking to Ken. Okay, there's 10. Did I not send you 9 and 10? Okay. Well, if you go into David Icke 9/11 on YouTube, this is easy to do. Go in, and people who are listening can do this as well. Go into David Icke 9/11 on YouTube. They're all there in a line. David Icke 9/11 on YouTube. And then run down, you'll see these, what I've picked out today on it. And three-quarter way down is 9/11 Commission on the with David Icke's photograph on it, 6 minutes 49. See, do you come to that one? Mm-hmm. It's on the list. 9/11 Commission. Something, and that's 6 minutes. Look for 6 minutes 49 on the sound card. That's the we'll finish with that one then. Okay, okay, we go to that one then. Okay.
Oh, that's that length. One other thing I should mention, by the way, so we don't miss it. What I'm talking about, that ultra Zionist list of people involved, the 9/11 Commission was run by its executive director, a man called Philip Zelikow, an ultra-Zionist who had written before 9/11 and his commission about warning about Arab attacks on and terrorist attacks on American buildings and weapons of mass destruction, all that stuff. He ran the show. And as I show in the book from with sources, he and another guy wrote the final report of the 9/11 Commission, or laid it out, including headings and subheadings and all that stuff, before the commission had even first met. And the chairman of the commission, a guy called Thomas Keane, actually said publicly that the 9/11 Commission was set up to fail. Let's look at the background. First of all, you've had these horrific terrorist attacks in America. Again, as with the buildings, what you want, surely, if you care, is the biggest, most painstaking investigation in American history. What happened was that Bush and Cheney resisted an investigation at all. And then public pressure came, and he made the head of the investigation, Henry Kissinger, right? Henry Kissinger, ultra Zionist, who, well, basically, I mean, it's like putting the poacher in charge of investigating poaching. Basically, I mean, it's the last person you would put in charge of that, and the public reaction responded in the same way. This is ridiculous. So Bush and Cheney and Kissinger stood down. Bush and Cheney had this other group, but it was dominated, even as the mainstream media have written, by this guy, Philip Zelikow. Not only was an ultra-Zionist connected to the same network I'm talking about, but he was also a big-time Bush administration insider. He actually wrote a book with Condoleezza Rice, the Secretary of State at the time of 9/11. Now, when you read the 9/11 Commission report, it is absolutely disgusting. Anything that challenges the official story doesn't get in there. Do you know, we talked at the start of this chat about the Achilles heel of all Achilles heels in 9/11, Building 7. Had a big problem. The 9/11 Commission had a big problem. How do you explain 9/11 and the Building 7 collapse? You can't really say, although the official story is this, that it was office furnishings. It would get taken apart if it appeared in the report. They never mentioned it. The whole of the 9/11 Commission report, the third building to fall, is not mentioned. Something else that's not mentioned, among many other things. At the time of 9/11, the Bush administration had a transportation secretary called Norman Mineta. And he told the commission of his experience on 9/11 when he was inside a bunker under the White House with Dick Cheney and others. And he described a situation that he experienced where they alerted the fact that a plane is heading for Washington. If we take the official story that Flight 77 hit the Pentagon, the plane flew 40 minutes into the Midwest before turning round and coming back, right? And only at the last minute was there any acknowledgement that there was a plane heading for the Pentagon officially. If you are a professional hijacker, what these people were supposed to be, what a joke, you know the NORAD reaction times to hijackings. You're going to take that plane off from Washington Dulles.
Okay, we go to the break and we'll finish off shortly after the break. Okay.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Okay, and we're coming back in for the first break of the third hour, and we just finish up with the 9/11 Commission comments by David Icke on his video that he's doing on 9/11, okay?
And you're going to head for the Pentagon, because you know you haven't got much time. 80 minutes that plane was in the sky, no military reaction. Anyway, Mineta tells he's in the bunker, and Cheney's there. And he said this young man, as he describes him, military, came in, and he was counting Cheney down about a plane coming in towards Washington, like, you know, 50 miles, 40 miles. And when it got real close, Mineta said, this lad said to Cheney, "Sir, do the orders still stand?" And Cheney, being the brutal man of the years, reacted, of course, aggressively, saying, "Have you heard anything different?" Worse to that effect. Of course, the orders are not changed. And then the Pentagon was, quote, hit. So the orders were clearly not to take the plane down, shoot the plane down. Not there was anyone up there to do it anyway. The orders were clearly not to take the plane down. So this story is told to the commission by the transportation secretary in the Bush administration. Never got in to the 9/11 report because it's a total scam to stop the truth coming out. Everywhere you look, Brian, it's a joke.
Very good, very good. Yeah, that concludes our marathon run through the 9/11 story. No, John Sapper did a series this week on his program, but Ike's thing is so readily available. Let's see, combined with his book, I've forgotten the title. I'm afraid to switch off today. I've got problems switching on. But it's in. It, if people go into YouTube and click in David Icke 9/11, his latest series of videos and his book, it's riveting stuff. He really put it all together in absolutely chronological order. But I should give out the phone number if you want to add anything to this. It's 800-313-9443. I know we've loaded on an awful lot of stuff on this today, but by virtue, it's the 18th anniversary of 9/11. And again, nobody who actually was involved in it, Cheney and the gang, not one of them charged 18 years later. What does that say about America today, that they could pull this off against the American people? And then they already had printed the Patriot Act 1 and 2. And by the way, what do you call him? Kavanaugh, that judge, he was part of the writing of the Patriot Act 1 and 2, folks. Don't forget that. So the people that Trump's pick, I mean, it's just off the Richter scale. Like this new Attorney General who let Comey walk. I mean, what the hell is going on? It's still going on. There's no draining of the swamp that I can see. Absolutely none. But that's the 9/11 story. But 18 years on, and everything was a cover-up. Well, as usual, like in the British tradition, the inquiry is the cover-up. But it's so blatant, and the facts are backed up back-to-back, brick by brick, in what's missing, what is absolutely totally false, what is absolutely ludicrous, what could not have possibly happened, and etc. I was telling Ken during the break, I did work in a wide range of things over the years, but one of the things I worked in Alberta was for a company, a German company in southern Alberta, where they were demolishing surplus Molson breweries, and we demolished Letts Brewery in Lethbridge, Alberta. It took 9 months. It wrecked the equipment of the company I was working for. But I worked with very skilled guys who'd worked on demolitions all over Canada and the States, and I went back to them after 9/11, and they were just laughing. They said, oh, that was some sort of nuclear event or something, but said, no demolition has ever happened like that before. And the laughable thing that's encased in TV history forever is the BBC reporter, what's her name, Bridget, what's her name, saying in one of her frantic reports, and we've just heard, she says that Building 7 has collapsed, and there it was standing behind her. It's like it didn't happen for 20 minutes afterwards. So they were all working to a handed out script, which was appalling. I expect CNN to be part of that kind of crap, but for the BBC to get involved in naked, horrendous propaganda is spellbinding. And today we have the BBC, as is, and I can't promote them enough. We'll be interviewing Brian Gerrish in the oncoming weeks. We have Deborah Tavares coming in a week's time. We have Georgia Pulikan of the LFS coming. Just because we're switching weeks around, I did this 9/11 thing today. But and there were a lot of very interesting people. But Brian Gerrish, a former naval commander, he has been exposing all of the carry-on about the military European Defence Union, which Theresa May signed up to in the midst of supposedly negotiating the Brexit departure of Britain from the EU. It's a joke. And there's three new information bureaus being set up under the guise of the BBC, the Foreign Office, and the MOD, the Ministry of Defence in Britain, which are all about misinformation. And it's one of them is called the Integrity Project. Isn't that wonderful? Absolute lies and disinformation, and which they call integrity. But UK Column News, it's on the internet there, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and their own website is a very active site, and they have taken on many campaigns to expose this kind of thing. Okay, we'll go to the bottom of our break, and we should be back in a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat, very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Coming back in to the bottom of the outbreak of the third hour today. This is the Barton Report from Republic Broadcasting, and we did a long 2.5 hours there of David Icke exposing the entire chronological story of 9/11 and how it was covered up, and it's still that way 18 years later, right? Does Trump want to tackle that? I don't think so. But anyway, in the UK here, we have Ian Crane and the people I'm involved with, Alternative View, and Mark Steele, 5G. They have these public meetings now running in the cities around the UK. They've done 4 or 5 this week, and they're getting stunned reaction from people. And they have one in Brighton next week, which is the gay capital of Britain, and the Green Party hold this parliamentary seat down there, and they're in favour of 5G. Isn't that interesting? Well, the public meeting in I won't be going to it, it's a bit far away from me, in Brighton will be an expose and a half. And I also read out last week about the shocking state of affairs in Sheffield in northern England, where they've cut down 6,000 trees to facilitate 5G, and there are 800 children being treated in the local children's hospital for shocking chronic sleep disorders. And what are they treating them for? They're treating for ADHD. The sleep disorders are specifically from the LED street lighting outside our houses. And the BBC did a 5-page thing in it, but did not mention the word LED lighting. And the hospital and the NHS not mentioning the word LED lighting, right? This is the criminality that we're living under here in the UK, where all state agencies now are crime syndicates. Crime syndicates. Probably one of the biggest part of the BBC is the NHS, is crime. Claiming the money they've put aside, I think they've put aside 5 billion or more, I think it's much more than that, for medical malpractice claims that are coming down the pipe that they know they will lose. But and another thing, David Devine picked it up before I did, even, and he's in Taiwan. The BBC are putting out these little things, snippets of these magazine programs. Have you got your grab-and-go bag in case there's an emergency? Right. This is preempting what's going to happen with the grand solar minimum. There's more and more people picking it up on some of them serious scientists on YouTube. But and I was telling the thing I was ready to send Dubai. In the month of August here, we had two heat waves and some very warm weather. But in the evening of those hot days, the southwesterly winds here are getting very, very cold. People have their household heating on during those periods. So it's the propaganda war, which luckily people like myself and people who listen to RBN and the Alternative View and UK column have a sharper mentality to see what is going on. But this, looking at the details of the modern minimum, it is the worst ever. It happens every 400 years. It's the worst in thousands of years, and it's going to be around for quite a while. And this thing that everybody knows in America, they should know, there's 40, 45 million acres of crops not, NOT, not planted this year because of the floods in the Midwest and also the fires in California. It's even way more. It could be way about 50 million acres. Therefore, that will lead to food shortages around Christmas. Etc. So, and if the power grid goes down, I mean, as John McAfee was saying, he said, within a year you'll be living if you do survive, in a cave with a bearskin. And if you can't protect yourself, well, you'll be murdered for food anyway. But it's looking pretty bad on all levels. And all of this due to gross incompetence on every level, no proper food reserves in any country in the world. It's not part of governments hardly deal with. The military have their food reserves underground and the underground cities and bases in America. But the general public and the supermarkets, they don't have any legal requirement to hold reserves of food or draw from central food reserves for key foods. They'd only be distributing key foods in an emergency. But not dealt with at all in any way, shape or form. And the banks' skullduggery continues at a pace. And I see an article here which is quite breathtaking on Activist Post. Banks are seeking a lower credit score requirements, targeting over 50 million people with subprime borrowers, just to shove money out of them and enslave them with debt. And Tyler Durden is writing this article, and he's saying here, when the next bubble bursts, and it will, be sure to take a look back at this article. It might help explain some things. Lenders seemingly unhappy with the vast avalanche of debt they issue over the last decade are now looking to move the goalposts in order to be able to lend even more money to even less creditworthy individuals. Yeah, that's the likes of me. Gone are the days of relying on the consumer borrowing history to determine creditworthiness, and instead lenders now look at such bizarre trivia as magazine subscriptions, phone bills, to decide how much should be lent to the potential borrowers. Banks like Goldman Sachs Group, Financial and Discover card, yeah, are now experimenting with the new metrics. Metrics, they call it. The changes are seismic for many large banks who spent the last 10 years targeting only extremely creditworthy borrowers. But as we all know too well, when the pool runs out, the show must go on by any means possible. And that is how we get the no doc loans and subprime CDOs just before the last bubble burst. At stake is a lot of potential money. Banks are targeting the estimated 53 million US adults who don't have a credit score and 56 million that have subprime scores. The banks claim that many of these people don't have traditional borrowing backgrounds, oftentimes because they pay in cash or are new to the US. that doesn't make them bad death slaves prospects. However, quite the opposite. No, they're going to put a noose around their neck with borrowing. The timing also, the timing couldn't be any better. The U.S. consumer debt is higher than ever as Americans continue to borrow in order to finance everything from cars, college housing, and medical care. Well, the money tied up in car finance in the United States and Britain is shocking. It's shocking. Government officials have also encouraged at times changes to the information in credit reports and scores that so that loans could be made to deserving borrowers who don't fit a traditional mold. You know, like people who have the means to pay back their debt. Banks like JP Morgan, Citigroup, American Express, Capital One have all been considering taking to FITCO, that's the abbreviation of it, about whether incorporating new data into credit scores could help boost loan volume. As we have reported on Zero Hedge before, lenders have also been pleading with Experian for ways to find new customers who are more financially responsible than their credit scores would suggest. I'm looking for the definition of FITCO here. I'll come to it in a minute. Goldman Sachs started making personal loans in 2016 as part of a larger move to consumer banking. A spokesman for the bank said it has built a technology and data architecture that can ingest and use multiple scores of data to make the best decisions for the customers and the bank. And finally, he's saying the entire lending industry revolves around customer data and FITCO, that's the new low-grade loans category. Dossiers are compiled on borrowers, and data is condensed through a score between 300 and 850. Last October, we reported on FITCO announcement of its Ultra FITCO score that rigs factors on in how Africans manage cash in their checking and savings accounts, and why wouldn't FITCO offer another score? About 37% of revenue comes from the credit scores that it sells. Okay. And TransUnion also says it sells alternative data to U.S. lenders as well, blah, blah, blah. Okay. As a critic state, the obvious, the new scores could make tons of non-creditworthy borrowers look as though they are creditworthy when they aren't. Other critics point out that the borrower's propensity to pay bills necessary to live, like electric and water bills, don't help distinguish whether or not they are likely to pay back an unsecured debt. And thus, we remind the banks that those who fail to lend from their history are doomed to repeat it. Okay, sure. Well, so as well as 55% of Americans, and I think in Britain too, cannot handle a £500 or $500 emergency because their savings are non-existent. But again, John Whitehead, he has a short article here saying, blank check policing, cops stop cars registered to unlicensed owners, whether or not owners are behind the wheel. And his organization, the Rutherford Institute, has taken a class action case. And said, blank check policing, cops stop cars registered to unlicensed owners, whether or not they're driving. And this is Washington, D.C. The Rutherford Institute challenged the police practice of stopping cars registered to unlicensed owners, whether or not owners are behind the wheel. Such vehicles are often driven by licensed family members and friends. And in the absence of specific wrongdoing, in an amicus curiae brief, so whatever the legal term is, filed with the Supreme Court on the state of Kansas and Glover, Rutherford Institute attorneys argue that allowing police to stop a vehicle any time the registered owner is unlicensed gives police too much leeway to violate the standards established by the Fourth Amendment, requiring particularized and articulable evidence, it's a mouthful, that the specific individual being stopped has or soon will be engaged in an unlawful conduct. Now, what about predictive programming where they say, oh, you have a criminal offense and we reckon you're going to commit a crime soon, so we have to arrest you now. Affiliate attorneys, blah, 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 they've taken this case. This kind of traffic stop contributes to what I call blank check policing, in which police officers have been given free range to pull anyone over for a variety of dubious reasons, as long as they can provide palatable pretext for doing so, said the constituency attorney. John W. Whitehead, who is a lawyer, though, president of the Rutherford Institute and author of Battlefield America, his latest book, The War on the American People. This free, well, we're just describing the war on the American people. 9/11 was a big, big part of that. The Patriot Act 1 and 2, the DHL, and the 17 security agencies, they're all aimed at the American people. This freedom, free-handed approach to traffic stops, frequently sanctioned by the U.S. Supreme Court, has resulted in drivers being stopped for windows that are too heavily tinted, for driving too fast, driving too slow, failing to maintain speed, following too closely, improper lane changes, distracting drivers, screening a car's tires, screeching a car's tires, and leaving a parked car door open for too long. Well, you might just get shot dead in the process as well. 4,400 Americans were shot dead in the last 2005-2009, I read that 2 weeks ago, at police checks for no reason whatsoever. So the license plate number of a 1995 Chevrolet pickup to Kansas Department of Revenue and requested information about the vehicle, which was registered to Charles Glover, whose Kansas driver's license had been revoked, despite the fact that the driver, Mayer, had not observed any traffic violation or other criminal offense by the pickup's driver and did not know the identity of the person driving the vehicle. So they're going into specific cases here. But anyway, they won that case, John Whitehead and his team. And they're very happy about that, but that's just one small case in one state. I don't believe that ruling covers all the other states, does it? I don't think so. But I mentioned a few weeks ago, and to my friends up in Washington State, that Nikki Rapana, she gave a tremendous interview for a radio station to a guy called Julian Charles, and it's called themindrenewed.com. And it's a 10,000-word interview, which a very good chap, Sam, a friend of mine, has transcribed, and I have it here. And it's explaining what communitarianism is. And she has written a book as well called Nikki Rapana, The Anti-Communitarian Manifesto. Now, that's the kind of stuff I like to see. I will be getting that this week. I think it's about $20. Nikki Rapana, The Anti-Communitarian Manifesto, How to Fight Back. And the communitarianism is an insidious, clever, devious form of local government based on for the better good and the community. Like this bunch of morons we have in Britain called a common purpose, meaning that when you give up this little privilege to the betterment of the community, and you keep giving up, and then you're corralled and in a noose, and you're a slave, an absolute slave, the enslavement of people. But just the fundamentals looked after. As I say, if the proper definition of a limited government in a constitutional republic was enacted and they stuck to the American Constitution, what they need is a handbook for local government to do the minimum and to do it well. And anything else must be done voluntarily by the community. And they own what they do. But people have got it back to front of who they are, what they are. They are they're not owned by the government or the community. The community is meant to be serving them. But this 10,000-page thing, I have it underlined down to about 20%, I would think. And I'll read out. It'll follow through the full meanings of the devious insurgent, and it's been going for 20, 30, 40 years, and also they want to, communitarianism is to get rid of the right to own property, which Tom DeWeese, he sent me some stuff, we have yet to read it, about the latest attack on the right to ownership of private property, which is attack. And the two great words, community and sustainability and environment, those are the attack words. And the more I see of the Green Party in Britain and the left and in Britain, what they believe in is absolutely revolting. And they only have one MP in the House of Commons, Caroline Lucas, and she is a vile, vile, poisonous version of Hillary Clinton. And this Brexit thing now is hanging by a thread. The government and Boris Johnson has lost the majority completely. He's now minus 45 seats, as 21 of his own people voted against him and he had to kick them out of the party. And he's now corralled. And Jeremy Corbyn claiming he wants election, but not just yet. And it's key that if Johnson gets as far as October 31st, Parliament is in recess at the moment to facilitate the party councils until the 14th of October. He may get to crash out of a deal and then have an election, and which he would possibly win if he cooperates with Nigel Farage's Brexit Party. But anyway, we'll go to this last break today, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Okay, we're coming back in for the last few minutes of the program today. And I just read through a list here. I have these people lined up with Deborah, possibly next week, I think so, and Georgia Pulikin on the 29th. She is the solicitor who has been representing the Yellow Vests and part of the Yellow Vests operation in France, which has seen the biggest news blackout in France, in Britain, and Europe ever. Shocking. Truly shocking. And these Yellow Vests are peaceful protesters, and they're being viciously attacked by the French security services. And if you go onto YouTube, just go in Georgia, G-E-O-R-G-I-A, Pulikin, P-O-U-L-I-Q-U-E-N, Pulikin, and her videos and blogs will come up. A lot of them are in French, but you'll find English ones there. And she shows photographs of the injuries sustained by peaceful protesters with laser-guided rubber bullets being fired at them. Laser-guided, right? And they fired more in 30 years in Northern Ireland. There was conflict. There was thousands of rubber bullets fired, and Mike Robinson on UK column was saying the number, something like 15,000. Well, they've fired more. That was in 30 years. In France already, in 40 weeks, they've used more rubber bullets than they did in Northern Ireland, and it's unprovoked attacks and by thugs, and it looks like some of them are UN troops as well. But there's no alternative media in France, would you believe? Shocking. So that's why I've met Georgia at AV10, talked to her many times on the phone this week. She has a legal case coming up, so she has to do it on the 29th. But we're setting up the program, and we will talk to her then. But she's a very worthy person, and she's been through a lot of trauma. And as of General O'Doherty is differently set up, she was a veteran investigative journalist in Dublin. She got fired by the Irish Independent, was taken over by a gangster called Dennis O'Brien, and he fired her, but she sued them and got massive compensation. But she was a speaker at AV10, and she had a YouTube blog every night, but now they've wiped YouTube and Google and Facebook have taken her out completely. So hope to be able to assist her to get back on air. And talking to our colleague David about that. And I'm looking for a nickname for our system. We call it Free Switch. That is one of the technologies in it. But Free Switch, the system we're on now, is way superior to Skype. And it's quite secure. And other key people can be interviewed on it. But the viciousness, and again, Trump, what's he doing to curtail Silicon Valley? These people, YouTube, Google, Facebook, and Amazon, I don't see a thing, not a thing. And the viciousness of them is just shocking. And the figure to this year is 18 million people wiped off YouTube this year. It was 58 million last year. To date, 18 million. And again, Mike Adams is cataloging this and doing special broadcasts on his Brighton.com and his counter speech series, and saying what he is doing about it, and etc. And he is prolific in his exposure of this. Another person we'll have on is David Noakes and Lynn Tyre, the people who had a cure, an absolute cure for cancer, GC Math, but they'll be on later in the month, before Christmas. But anyway, as we say, we'll be back this time next week with the Barden Report, and we'll talk to you then.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
This is the Alternative Media, exposing government corruption, defending our